John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Fellow redeemed, I remember this event as if it were only yesterday. My son Andrew, 4 years old, climbing into the family minivan, crumpled artwork in one hand and a Power Rangers backpack dangling from the other. "Daddy," he said, grinning, "I learned a new song today. Want to hear it?" I said, "Sure, let's hear it." So, without any fear of forgetting the lyrics or missing the notes, my son began to sing, "I love you, a bushel and a peck, a bushel and a peck and a hug around the neck." And the song ended with my 4-year-old giving me a peck on the cheek and a hug around the neck. If you were to ask Andrew today, now 33 years old, about that preschool event, he might say, "Nah, it never happened. Dad is losing his memory as rapidly as he's losing his hair." But it did happen. I could never forget a memory so precious. My son singing to me, "I love you, a bushel and a peck, and a hug around the neck." The Bible contains many expressions of God's love. Jeremiah chapter 31, God says to you, "I have loved you with everlasting love." Or Psalm 103, he crowns us with loving kindness and compassion. Or 1 John chapter 4, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And yet, what does God really mean when he says, "I love you"? What kind of love is God's love? While the answer is given from Genesis to Revelation, nowhere is it more eloquently or simply stated than in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. When you and I hear that phrase, "God so loved the world," it's easy to equate so loved with so much. God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, and that is absolutely true. But a more literal rendering of the verse is, "In this manner, God so loved the world." So John 3:16 is not just about the extent of God's love, but its characteristics. What are some of those characteristics? First, God's love is unconditional. And that means that his love is not conditioned by the worth of its object. The reason God loves lies within him and not within us. "God so loved the world," said Jesus. But what kind of world did God love? Paul described that world in Romans 1 as being full of unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder, strife, deceit, backbiters, haters of God. And yet we still have the gospel announced. "But God so loved the world." That world, this sinful, lost, condemned, undeserving world, you, me, and everyone in it. Is that the course that we would take? Probably not. Human reason usually looks for a reason to love in its object. "Oh, I love her because she's so attentive to me. I love him because he is so handsome." By the way, if that's true, will you still love him when he's old and wrinkled and his hair falls out? By contrast, God loves for his own sake. And can you think of anything more comforting than that? I simply cannot. Can you see why all the outcasts and misfits, the despised, the rejected, the notorious sinners were so overjoyed when Jesus proclaimed God's undeserved love and forgiveness to them? Because that meant that being saved had nothing to do with who they were, what they had, what they could do, but simply trusting in God's undeserved love and forgiveness in Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him should not perish, whoever, but have eternal life. Second, God's love is a love of commitment and action. God so loved the world that he what? Did nothing. He gave. And he gave the very best that he had to give, his only begotten Son. Today there are many churches that are willing to talk about God's love, but are reluctant to talk about Christ's sacrifice. Oh, God loves you, they say. Amen, God loves you. But they fail to realize that the only way to measure the extent of God's love is through the enormity of Christ's sacrifice. And that is why John wrote, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Does God say, I love you, I love you? He does, again and again. But God was not merely content with talk. He proved his love in a way that was meant to eliminate all worries, all fear, and all doubt. He gave his only begotten Son, not partially, not grudgingly, but completely and irrevocably. When God sacrificed Jesus for our sins, he was saying to us, let me rephrase, he was saying to each of you, you might feel alone, but I'm with you. You might feel lost, but I have redeemed you. You might feel unloved and unwanted, but there is no one, says God, who loves you like I do and wants you like I do. And if you want proof, go to the cross where I punished my Son instead of punishing you. Third and finally, God's love is an eternal love. Have you ever felt this way? Boy, I know I have. You ever wondered, I just don't know how God can go on loving me? Surely his love must be running out by now, especially the times that I've accepted his kindness and forgiveness and then just turned my back on him and walked away until I needed him again. How can he love me? Or in the words of Paul, oh, wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? What's the answer? Praise God. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's love for you is eternal. It never changes. God's love for you never runs out. And it is important to remember that, especially when going through hard times and heartache, when we're all tempted to think, God must not love me as much as he used to, because if he loved me, this would not be happening to me. Nothing could be farther from the truth. God does not love us one day and hate us the next day. He loves us every day the same. He loves us in the good times, but oh, he is still loving us in the bad times. These are the characteristics of God's love: an unconditional love, a committed love, an eternal love. And so we say with the hymnist, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a tribute far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Amen. Hymn 245, stanzas 1 and 6.